We would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We respectfully acknowledge elders past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be.
Hi, and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel.
We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine, Meg Robin. What are we doing this week, Meg?
We're doing red burgundy, more specifically, kind of Pommard.
You can't see because I'm on a microphone, no, but I'm dancing right now.
Doing a little bop.
I'm pretty happy about this episode. I have a wine club I go to, and I want to show off. And I was like, Meg, can we do the podcast?
Should you be telling everyone that?
Can we do?
Well, I guess it's don't waste the wine.
We don't want to waste the wine.
No, that's right. Although, there'll be some deliciousness in there, I'm sure.
So I was like, well, we're going to do Burgundy anyway. And so I was like, can we just do it the day before I'm going?
Well, maybe you should do what I've done to you.
That's a great idea.
Will I tell them later or will I tell them now?
What we're doing.
Well, how we're going to do it.
Yeah, tell them.
Okay, so we've got four burgundies, and I can tell you one is a generic burgundy, just a red burgundy, and then they're burgundy. One is a generic red burgundy, so the regional appellation.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Pommard, which is a village appellation.
Yeah.
And one of them is a straight Pommard. And then we have two Premier Cru, different vineyards.
So cool.
From Pommard.
So good.
But they are blind.
And is
so yeah. I don't expect us to identify them. What I want us to do is rank them in terms of quality to see is there actually a bloody difference. There's $650 sitting on this table.
Mm.
I could not get us a Grand Cru because mm-hmm. our budget doesn't stretch to that. These will be some extraordinary, extraordinary wines. So we've got our glasses all lined up, numbered 1 to 4. The wines are numbered 1 to 4, and we'll have to shift the glasses around in order of yes. ranking.
Now, before we get into the show, Meg, I have to tell you, we got a message to our Instagram this week.
Okay.
From Matt. And Matt said that he is an avid listener of the podcast. Listen to this. He found it on Spotify a week ago and has already listened to every single episodes.
And you just told me that as of this morning, that was our 100th episode, or today is our 100th?
No, our last one was our 100th. We should have had a party. Oops.
Oops.
Matt, how have you possibly listened to 100 episodes?
You either drive a lot or run a lot, or I mean, I have podcasts going all
yeah,
day whenever I'm home. So I can see you could probably do 8 hours in a day.
Yeah.
That's pretty
how nice is that? Anyway, let's quickly just answer this, I reckon, before we get into it, because Matt has such a passion for wine and he's actually an assistant store manager at Dan Murphy's.
Oh, okay.
He just wants to know how to do more with his wine journey, where to go next.
Gosh, without knowing where he is at, yeah. I would recommend doing WSET
totally.
Level 2
yeah.
and then 3. Depending on where he wants to be, I think level 4 will certainly help him if he stays in the Dan Murphy's fold or even the whole Pinnacle Drinks. You know, it's certainly
yeah.
going to help him because it'll create the trade professional, because that's what the tagline is for it.
Wizard and then podcast books. Max Allen does great books.
Books, tastings, dinners.
Yeah.
You know, whenever there's a tasting on, Prince Wine Store always does good ones on yeah. Saturdays. Look around. Because he's in the trade, he may be able to get invited to some of the actual distributors' tastings.
True.
They're always really good.
Yeah, so try and get yourself on some lists.
Get on some lists.
Oh, well, good luck, Matt, and thank you so much for listening to so much of it. He must be so sick of our voices.
I hope the people in your life aren't pissed off.
But let's get into it, Meg. What have you been drinking?
I had a Beechworth Dominica Pinot Noir.
Oh,
can't remember the year.
Okay.
The other night.
Was it good?
So it's a Pinot that you need to look around for, you know, go online, try your small retailers.
It was good.
It was very, very good. But, you know, we want Pinot to taste like Pinot. I did have one the other night that was from the Pyrenees that was a little bit non-Pinot-esque.
Yeah, I did say to my friends last night that I don't drink Pinot but isn't exceptional anymore, and they thought I sounded like such a tosser.
Well, That's why Pinot is so expensive, because it is so hard to get right.
I think I'm even done with like $30 Pinot. I feel like even at that price now, I want like a Sangiovese or Nebbiolo or something kind of different. Mm. Whereas like I still love like a really, really good Pinot, but.
You'd rather spend the money.
Yeah, I would at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. Drink less of it and drink better of it.
Yeah. That's a good message. Okay, fun fact.
Fun fact. It's not really a fun fact. I just want to give a shout out. We're in March now, and February, March, April are harvest months across Australia for winemaking. But it's not just winemakers. Winemakers get all the glory. It's the viticulturalists. It's the people picking up buckets in the vineyards. It's people putting on and pulling off nets. It's the people bringing in the barrels to you. It's the mechanics who are coming out servicing all the equipment before vintage starts. And lastly, and often forgotten, it's the partners of all of those people who are working their butts off, and the partners are at home doing everything.
Yeah, like
I'm about to go into being a vintage wife
vintage
again.
Partner.
When I was a winemaker, it was great. We just outsourced the vintage wife and paid someone to do the children.
Well, because often you're doing 12-hour days in the winery, right?
Well, certainly with my husband, it's always 7 days a week. Yeah. He just does not trust anyone because he works in small wineries.
Yeah.
If you're in a bigger winery, you can possibly work it out that you have 6 days if you – got a good team behind you, but when you're in a small winery and there's a lot of people in these small wineries, you know, they're just hands-on 24/7 until it ends.
No, well, shout out to anyone.
Just a shout out.
Even listening, people who listen to us work in wineries and vineyards and stuff, they could be listening to us doing vintage right now. So hope it's going well, everyone.
Bon chance, mes amis.
Okay, Meg, let's go. Burgundy.
Wine number – oh, should we – okay, we're going to pull
them. So remind me again. So one is regional. So it's like a –
and it's
Bourgogne.
Bourgogne,
so that's what it will be called on the label. And that's and worth what?
Now you're testing me, Mel. 45-ish.
Okay.
Maybe 50.
And then we go one level up, which is a village wine.
Then we have village. And so the village that I have chosen is Pommard.
Yeah.
And the straight Burgundy, red Burgundy, is a different producer. But that makes sense. The village and the two premier crus are the same producer.
Okay.
So we have a straight Pommard, and then we have two different premier crus. Now, I did mean to bring a map to show you how bloody tiny it is, and can we actually pick a difference? Like, you know, the village wine is from the top of the hill, and right next to it are premier cru vineyards. It just blows my mind.
So this is a good question, right? Like, within each vineyard or like with each producer, there are so many rules that come that are associated with being a premier cru. How do they end up tasting different, and do they end up tasting that different generally?
Well, this is one of the comments that the French very rarely talk about: human intervention.
Yeah.
So one producer's Pommard is going to be different to another producer's Pommard.
Even if the vineyards are right next to each other, they reckon that.
Yeah, I don't.
I love it when you call bullshit on things.
I'm kicking myself. I will send you the little map of Pommard, and we're talking, you know, a couple of k's wide and a couple of k's tall. And I don't know how many premier cru vineyards are in there, but there's a lot. Even when I did my MW and I was tasting the best, I just never. You know, struggled to see the difference between these premier crus, and then I'd listen to people talking about them. I would just be flummoxed. So just like, really? I'd go back to the glass and go, no, I don't see it. Even Volnay, which is literally next door to Pommard.
Yeah.
Is different to Pommard. That would be another one to do, to sort of line them up in the along the road as they were, and just pick the same
that's fun.
Sort of level. But you know, we have a budget, and we would blow it. And that's the reason
we're
going
to be drinking bargain bin for a little while after this.
One of the reasons we don't have Grand Cru is there's no Grand Cru in Pommard, because Grand Cru is down to the actual vineyard. So, and also, I think the cheapest one that I could find was $825, which just blows us out of the water. I mean, they're not for mere mortals. These are The two Premier Crews were around the $250 mark.
So one's not necessarily more prestigious than the other. They're both just kind of similar.
Yeah.
And then, so we have 45. What was the Village one?
129-ish.
Okay. 30. So reminding everyone, we've got there, that's kind of the four levels of Burgundy. So you have Bourgogne, which is just entry regional. Level, like regional. Then you go Village. And then when you get to Premier Cru, you start getting into the, like, specific vineyard stuff.
Yes, exactly. And these are all named vineyards. So there's two yes. Premier Crus. But if we're looking at them in the glasses, good
looks
luck,
pretty
babe.
Similar so far.
We'll try number one. Now, I did listen to our episode this morning and I was seriously sleepy. So I apologise for last week's episode and I will try and avoid doing that. I need, like, an off button on my
That's
microphone.
Some self-awareness. That's good.
Well, you know, I'm working with you.
Yeah, normally it's forced awareness. Beautiful colour.
Blame my mother if they're a bit warm. I had to go via her house and do some domestic duties and I left them in the car.
That's right, we got the aircon on.
Wow. They're grunty.
Mm-hmm. Wine number one. The length is just not ending. Are we going to talk through them one by one? Or?
Yeah, I'm just sorry. Boring episode.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Sorry. I think okay. We need to talk through
I'm
them.
I'm just getting excited.
Yeah, Meg's just sitting there tasting them all.
Sorry, it's about me today. It's not about you. It's very rare that you get to do this
just
sort of stuff. I'm a little bit geeky.
Just gonna
now.
Have silence in your ears while Meg tastes.
I've got my thinking cap on, as my mum used to say. Okay, the first one. It's a sort of a pale garnety colour.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that these are, I can't remember what the, but there's 2015, 2016 on the Village and Premier Cruise, but I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
So this so might be a bit of age. So
vintage variation. Okay.
So look, really, this is dusty and dried earthy for me.
Yeah.
There's lots of sort of dark cherry fruit. I don't really get fresh sort of cherry. It's a more mm-hmm. brooding.
Yeah,
wine.
It is. It is brooding. Yeah, it smells quite like savoury rather than super fresh fruit.
Mm. Quite big tannins for Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. We're not talking Cabernet tannins here, people. We're just talking bigger, firmer tannins. And when you are at that Village and Premier Cru level, they're designed to be aged, so we would expect to see a little bit more concentration, a little bit more firmness in the tannins and longevity, I guess. You want yeah. the tannins to last. That's nice, but fruit's a little dulled for me.
Yeah, the alcohol might feel a little high as well.
Mm. That could be my mum's fault.
Oh, because of the
Faye,
temperature.
Because I left them in the car.
Yeah,
although
okay.
they don't feel hot, but I agree with you. The yeah. alcohol's sitting a bit proud.
Yeah.
Mm, all right. I'm not making any judgment calls no. yet.
Oh, my God, we just did different ones.
Oh, you
just
did?
Just did my number four.
Okay, this is going to be a long episode.
Should we start from the start?
No, don't start from the start. That's freaking hysterical. Just do number one. And while you're doing it, I'm going to go round. You talk. I'm going to go around and arrange them in the right order.
No, it's fine. You keep talking while I okay. taste. You go to wine number two.
Okay, you taste wine number one. You dick. It's really not your fault because you are in an awkward position and they are mm-hmm. back, laid out in front of you in a line. Mine are nicely laid out in front of me.
Okay, wine number one is so much drier. The tannins are way more hectic than the one I was just drinking. That's a completely different wine. Funny that. big tannins.
Oh, big tannins.
Big tannins. All I know right now is that number four is better than number one. So
okay. Wine number two.
Wine number two.
Are you sure you got two?
Yes,
yeah. It we says even two. Wrote we two even, on the glass.
We even numbered it and still managed to stuff it up. Ooh, it's kind of like it's given
like wet forest floor type.
There is a bit more. So when
stamp
Pinot ages, it takes on what they call forest floor. So you're right, when you're walking through a forest in autumn, when the earth's wet, it's not mushroomy, but the leaves are starting to rot. It's that lovely smell. It also, barnyard is another one. So it takes on a little bit of a, not horsey like.
I was going to say, when is barnyard a fault and when is it just a nice character? No, it's not horsey.
Barnyard, it's more pooey.
When it's pooey, it's a fault?
No, pooey's good.
Oh, pooey's good.
Horsey's Brett.
Yeah.
Baby's nappy, I think I've said that before, that people talk about baby's nappy.
In a good way.
Yep.
Yeah. You always have to check in wine.
True.
I was talking about cats pee on a gooseberry bush in Wesset the other day and everyone was looking at me like, are you joking?
No, that's actually a wine in England.
That's crazy.
It seems to have more development, more barnyard forest floor mushroom, like fresh shiitake mushroom kind of smell, and not as much red fruit.
Yeah. Still a lot of tannin too for a Pinot.
A lot of tannin. Pomar's in the Côte de Beaune. It's in so you've got the Côte de Nuits in the north.
Oh, it's in Côte de Beaune.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Côte d'Or is the whole thing. Côte de Nuits is where Nuits Saint-Georges is, and that's supposed to be the best for Pinot. But then you move down, and because you're on the hillside and all the Pinot in the Côte de Beaune is on the hillside, and Pomar certainly is on the hillside. So it's getting all the sun rays. That's more savoury than the first one.
It is. And I tell you what.
And these are going to change so much in the glass over the next.
Oh, maybe we should put some in the duck canter.
No, not with that metal thing at the end. And what were you asking for the other day?
The shoe, the Danny Ricciardo shoe. I want that desperately, the decanter.
No, I would design
it. Are you kidding? Oh, my God, I want it desperately. But so. Yeah, I think what is blaringly obvious to me so far, and I have never had Burgundy of this calibre before, I just think that it is so, so different to the Pinot we have in Australia. And I think a lot of Australians might not actually like it as much as what we do in Australia.
Absolutely. And this is the thing that people have said to me, that Burgundy, certain Village Burgundies and certain Premier Crus and Grand Crus have so much more grunt to them. And we expect our Pinot in Australia to be ethereal and gentle and soft. And when you do make a grunty one, even we're guilty of saying, oh, it's a bit like a dry red.
Yeah.
So we accept it in Burgundy. Don't forget they use a lot more whole bunch stems, so they're getting stem tannin. We don't really need to do that stem tannin in Australia because we get our grapes actually ripe. I mean, it's a bit different.
Meg, throw on shade.
A bit different when you're talking about a Grand Cru level.
Okay.
We're on one three.
It is not as like that barnyard on the nose much.
Is it the bad barnyard, like a bit horsey?
Yeah.
A little bit of Britannomore.
Yeah, is it? Not like I do smell it, but it's not
bothering me. No, it's not the only thing there. And again, certain winemakers believe that it adds complexity to wine.
Yeah, and I agree. I hate it when people smell and go, oh, Brett, and then just completely discount the wine.
Pete will do that.
I don't.
I try to look around it. Yeah. If it's dried out the tannins and taken all the fruit out, then I'm disappointed. But often it hasn't.
And it's like, who's to say it's a fault? I just think it's in a spectrum of taste. And if a little bit is adding to the, I don't know.
I had an 82 Mouton Rothschild. 82 is considered to be the very.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was at a MW thing in Bordeaux.
Yeah.
82 is considered to be the year for Bordeaux. It would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm. And it was Bretty. Mm. And I was sitting with Alistair Mayling, who was the winemaker at Villa Maria, and I said, oh, Alistair, is that Bretty? And he went, yeah, but go back and look at it. Like, don't be stupid. Like, let's not be winemakers about this. Let's celebrate the fact. This is in about 2010, so the wine was quite old. And I went back and I had a look, and you can see stuff. And in this I can certainly see more, but it just structure seems more simple. on this one.
Oh, really? I was about to say I quite like the structure. I like the tannin on it.
It's got more pinosity, but don't forget in these Premier Crus,
you don't necessarily really want what I'm
drinkability.
Yeah, you're not looking for drinkability. Isn't that terrible?
I'm insulting everyone now. No,
I'm not looking for drinkability.
That's the wrong term. You're not looking for.
You want it. You
I don't know how to dig myself out of this.
You're gonna
one,
have
actually.
To force it down. That's what you want.
When you're spending $200 or $100, you are looking for a wine that's going to age.
Yes.
When you're spending $45 to $50, you're looking for a wine to drink.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing to keep in mind here. Which of these wines are going to age better? It's not about, again, assess the wine in the glass for the quality rather than what you like. You've moved.
Is that how we're assessing today? Are we putting it in quality order or preference order?
No, quality order.
Quality order. Okay.
So yes. Yeah, a bit different.
Yeah, big. Number four. I love the nose on number four.
That is beautiful.
One. Isn't it? It's
violets. Perfume. And that's like the crushed violets, yeah, like in Psalm.
Yeah.
And there's a little touch of earth in there.
Stunning.
Oak. There's much more oak, new oak in this one than the other.
Yeah, you get vanilla for sure.
Cherry and macerated strawberries. Mm.
You know what's crazy? This actually already smells completely different to the first time we went around. Even just in the glass, that has opened up so much.
That's the thing. When I took the corks out today and then scrubbed all the corks around so in case there was differences and then put them back in randomly, I was thinking, oh, maybe I should leave them open. But then I had to drive here. I thought, no, that could be very messy. So I didn't. I put the corks back in. But, yeah, they're going to change. So far, four is definitely my favourite.
I maintain that the alcohol stands out a little bit, but I don't mind. It's still my favourite.
How do we judge?
Yeah, I don't know. They're all
okay. I'm going to make a call that wine three is the simplest, and that's going to be the lowest appellation. So I'm going to move that down to my left.
All right, we're back. We took a time out.
Yeah, we had much discussion and then we decided ranking them in terms of quality was.
But I think also first we had to say that we weren't managing to taste them well enough while we were talking, while we kept talking.
Like we just stopped. It's not a fun medium
taste, come back.
Over radio to watch people taste wine. Yeah. We discussed, should we rank them in terms of quality? And then Mel was saying, well, is it quality for drink now or whether they should age? So it was all a bit too hard. So we've decided that we've ranked them in terms of what our preference.
Yeah.
I think for what we'd like to drink, for how it's drinking
like
now.
If you had a roast duck in the oven and some good friends who knew their wine coming over, what would you want to serve tonight?
Yeah. And, again, there's a few for me that are not that necessarily that well balanced.
Now, before we get into it, I did, while we were breaking, ask you a question, and that was, could I expect, because I was trying to figure out what the Premier Crus were, could I expect the Premier Crus to be a lot riper than the others?
To which I replied yes, and then I said, well, actually, with this Pommard Village wine, it's from a vineyard called Les Vignottes, which is at the top of the hill. So it may be too ripe.
Yeah.
Or a bit cooked.
Yeah, okay.
Fruit character.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so
Let's go. What was your least favourite? So we did this separately. We don't know what each other's got.
My least favourite and what I thought was generally the weakest wine, the simplest wine, was wine three.
I had wine three and then last minute I swapped it to wine one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I decided that it was lacking in flavour and the tannin was out of balance. And there is something happening with the finish. The finish feels disjointed for me.
Wine one for me feels quite perfume and lifted. And wine three, which I've chosen as my least favourite and what I think is the weakest wine, is I don't see any real evident oak.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite simple cherry fruit. It's a little bit one-dimensional. The tannins are certainly softer.
Yeah, they are.
Good softer drinking tannin. Wine.
Oh, shit. Now I think I've retasted it and I like
it. It finishes short, man. Yeah, it does. You were right the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
Look at the length.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So then what did you have as your second, as you as the least next?
Least, second least one?
Second least. Penultimo? It just feels yes.
Wine two. So okay. Wine two's in the second.
So I've gone 3-1-2.
Okay.
But we've both chosen four. Is the yes. best one. That's interesting. Okay.
The fourth's probably the filler.
That would be so funny. I am not releasing this podcast if it is. We're pre-recording.
No, I think it's, as I said to you when we were on break, I haven't done something like this for years and it's so, it's yeah. geeky fun.
It is fun.
And again, we don't drink this level of Burgundy.
No. No, you know? No, it's completely
different. I don't even
different.
Buy this level of Burgundy. I just yeah. simply cannot afford it.
Yeah.
And I have such high expectations for it when I do buy it. And then I line these up in front of me and I go, oh, my God, they're all really good wines. But, you know, are they worth it? So I said wine two for number two. I liked it. It had cherry fruit.
Wine two has my least favorite tannins. Now that could, I guess, come down to aging though. Like exactly. it still needs
that,
age.
That's kind of why I'm wondering if it's yeah. on that top of the hill, too much sun, too yeah. much extraction, trying to be a bit of a show pony
mm-hmm.
and not getting the balance right.
Oh my God. Now that I taste them again, I like wine one better than wine two as well. I originally had it as my worst.
Then I had wine number one as my third wine. So we're getting up there.
Have I just let you talk me into this? Because I feel like I've swapped it to the same as yours.
No, you were.
I was 2-3.
We agree that you were wrong on that the three. It should have been three.
Yeah, okay. So my official is 3-1-2-4.
So I'm 3-2-1-4.
Okay.
One for me has that ethereal pinosity, the tannins are all.
What do you mean by ethereal?
It's kind of like. Wow.
Wow. You know, I hope that helps, folks.
Have you ever imagined, you know when you go flying in a plane,
uh-huh.
I really embarrass myself, and you see clouds and you just think, what would it be like to sit on a cloud?
Oh, my God, Meg. Oh, my God, that is so funny. You are so lame.
I think that wine one is kind of like that. It's like cloud-like in my mouth. It's just soft and gentle.
Is the cloud in the mouth or are you sitting on the cloud?
Well, I'd love to sit on a cloud, but I know you can't, that I'd plummet to my death. I always bring it back to the real.
Yeah, wow.
I just think wine one, just, there's just loveliness about it.
Loveliness. All right. Accepted answer. And then four is for us.
Perfumed. And the tannins are completely in check.
It's also the freshest. Like, it doesn't have. Like, it has hints of that, like, barnyard and savoury and that old world vibe,
and
but it's not.
Licorice and dark yeah, cherry. And,
but it feels more in balance with a fresh yeah. fruit.
It's and that's one, if you said to me, Meg, we're going to Simon Lay's tonight to have Peking duck, I'd be bringing that.
Yeah.
So that was my yeah. absolute favourite. Okay, do we.
Yeah, let's look.
So should we do wine three first?
Start with wine three. That's the one that we both thought.
My, I had to find sticky tape. The last time I used sticky tape was Christmas.
Oh!
Okay.
Premier Coup.
Pommard Premier Coup. Chaponnier.
Wow. Oh, my God. Maybe it was
2015. Right. Oh, no, you can't change that.
Wait, was that one number one or one number three?
That's three.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one we ranked the lowest.
Okay, so let's look at wine number one, the one that I originally ranked the lowest.
Do you want to unveil?
Yeah, I want to unveil. It's the Begun.
Mel was right. So oh I've got God. That as my third wine.
Wow.
Wow. And that's a negotiant. That's Joseph Druin.
Wow.
Now, wine, oh, this wine is for fun. Me. Yep.
Oh. Okay, number so two.
I need to write on this so that we know. Three, if you want to redo this with your.
Oh, yeah, true.
And that was wine one. So wine one was the Joseph Druin Pinot Noir. Begonia 2019.
I had the Begonia as my original least favourite, but then I changed it.
That's wine number three.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, my original least favorite, and then I made it.
So you nailed it so far.
Yeah. Wait, no, but I never had one that high. One was my third, and that turned out.
No, one was your least favorite. And then you changed it to
three.
Sorry,
the Premier Crew. Oh, yeah. So I swapped them both. Yeah. So they were my least. We've done bottom two at least.
Yeah.
And one of them has been a Premier Crew.
Unveil wine number two.
I'm so nervous.
I reckon this is straight Pommard. Les Vignons? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. The reason I chose this for this was because it is more extracted and it just seems like, you know, we're trying really hard.
And our favourite wine, thank God, was a Premier Cru. It is the Chandelier.
So this is wine two and that was wine four. So your homework, if people choose to do it, is to find if Chandelier Premier Cru from 2015 is better than Chiponnier Premier Cru from 2015.
And that is crazy that you had them on opposite ends. One was your favourite, one was your least favourite, and they are both near equally priced
from
Premier
memory,
Crus.
I think they're almost next door to each other.
Wow. That's crazy.
And it's the same winemaker, so we can't take human intervention. Cool.
Cool.
How cool was that?
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, we're geeking out.
Yeah,
here.
That
we're
was really
smiles
good.
On our faces, just like, yeah, that was fun. I loved that Pinot.
So definitely our favourite was one of the Premier Crus, but best value, not that $120 or whatever is good value.
Joseph Drouin, Bourgogne Pinot Noir 2019. That is a bloody good drink. If it's around the 50.
True.
Which is where I thought it was. Lovely perfume.
I didn't like. I thought it was disjointed though. I didn't like the finish. That was what I didn't like about that one.
Wow, wait. That's fun.
That was really good. All right. I hope that was entertaining to listen to. I have no idea if we just had fun and people care or not, to be honest.
And I don't know whether we've made time because we cut it so that we could geek out on it for a bit. So I'm not sure if we have made a long enough episode.
Well, we have, but we also have one more thing to do because when I did a shout out for voice messages – oh, the absolutely gorgeous and fabulous Susie messaged us and she messaged.
Just pouring extra three and four look at the two Premier Crus next to each other. Yes, keep
and
going.
So she said she sent us a voice message and then I was like, it's not working. I couldn't hear it. So she did it again. And it was so funny. I had the funniest night sitting there because she kept on sending it through, but then like stuffing up. And so I have about 10 voice messages from her.
Oh, Susie, well done for keep trying to get around Mel's technology.
Anyway, here is the original from Susie.
Hi, Meg and Mel. Just want to say, firstly, you guys are killing it this year. Piquette, Chenin and Mornington Pinot. I mean, what a way to start the year off. Especially the Chenin. I'd never tried it before. And after listening to the episode, I went out and bought their DMZ and it was incredible. So delicious. The perfect balance between honeycomb and acidity. Oh my gosh, it was yum. Even my dog Gary loved it. Hee hee. I put my finger inside my glass and gave him a try and then he wanted more. But I didn't give it to him, obviously. Anyway, I just want to say thank you for what you do and opening my eyes up to new varietals. You guys are legends. I look forward to every Friday. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, Susie. Absolute legend. We love all your voice messages, everyone. So thank you. Keep them coming in. We'll be back next week talking French white wines that you can actually afford in this economy. And until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.